Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We didn't get to do a Tony Tuesday, so we're doing a Tony Wednesday. Tony Serino, co-host, is back to talk Steelers football with us. So it's going to be a fun show. We're going to talk about all the moves made in Steelers free agency, the signing of Derek Watt at fullback, the second round tenders to Matt Filer and Mike Hilton, and some of the players that were lost. B.J. Finney going to the Seahawks, Tyler Matakavich to the Bills, the restructures that happened. We're also talking about where Tom Brady's going. Tony will spoil it a little early for you, but still, it'll be here. Also, Philip Rivers getting signed to a one-year deal. What does that mean for the rest of the quarterback market? What does it mean for the rest of the NFL? All that and more here today. Let's get into it. All right, Locked On listeners, welcome back. Our boy Tony Serino is in the house. Tony, welcome back to the show, man. Glad to have you. How are things down in Florida land?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, the whole nation is dealing with this quarantine right now. So, you know, trying to practice social distancing and all of that. We do this over Skype, which is good. It's you know, the world is crazy right now, but the NFL, I guess, is bringing us some sense of normalcy.
It is. It's helping everyone get back to just not thinking about what's going on with the nation. And we should be thinking about it. We should be aware. But we need our distractions. We need things to help us escape for a little bit and then come back to it with a fresh mind. And, you know, Monday was very exciting. Tuesday did not disappoint. So we're here on a Wednesday, rocking with us on a Wednesday. And the Steelers come out. I wouldn't say swinging big moves, but significant moves. And this is what I was saying. I'd expect another flurry. We'll lead with something that happened later in the day, but probably the biggest move is the addition of Derek Watt. They got another Watt brother, a fullback from the Chargers, 3 years, $9.75 million. The amount of how those will break down in salary caps is to be announced. But, Tony, it's an interesting move considering that they got Roosevelt Nix still on the roster.
Yeah, that's where your mind goes initially, right? Because Watt plays fullback. You know, they already got Rosie. Rosie's very good when healthy. So, the first thought has to be, well, you know, Rosie was down with injury for a lot of last year. Is he fully healthy, or do they know something behind the scenes of, you know, he's either not the same guy or this injury was worse than they let on, I guess. But Watt's a good player. I mean, obviously, two out of three Watt brothers. Maybe they can work a deal with Houston for the third one. We shall see, but no, Watt brings, first of all, a fullback to the offense that, you know, we'll see how much they use. You know, I know you've talked a lot about getting this running game back up and running, and he can certainly help there if Nix isn't going to be healthy. But the bigger thing, you know, is what he's going to bring to special teams. And they already lost Chickalo. We'll talk about Matakavich here. I think that's an even bigger role on the team is going to be him on special teams.
All right, Tony, you are Kevin Colbert. What do you send to Bill O'Brien to get him to agree to send J.J. Watt?
I mean, not a whole lot, right? And don't take you start low. You start real low. Like, hey, seventh round pick for JJ. Are we doing that? And then you just kind of work your way until Bill O'Brien actually says yes. Which at this point, I don't know. You could probably get him for like a third rounder right now. The comp pick from Le'Veon for JJ straight up, and Bill O'Brien's probably sending back a fourth round pick. What's going on with Houston right now is absolute insanity. So I don't think it would take that much, honestly.
It's the Texans are just a joke right now, and it's sad because they have so much talent on the roster, and I guess I'm going to say had because DeAndre Hopkins was the leading talent, of course, other news came out. The Steelers slapped second round tenders on Matt Filer and Mike Hilton, which to me means they're going to be Steelers. I don't see teams giving up second round draft picks for either of those guys. And if they do, yippee, because second round picks in the next year draft, that's pretty cool. And then they also slapped we don't know if they slapped the same round tender, but a report came from Steelers Depot saying that Zach Banner, we're pretty sure the source is Zach Banner, but you know, that's another thought. He signed a 1 year, $1.75 million contract with the Steelers. So all of these are 1 year extensions of keeping depth guys. And well, two guys, well, all, actually
all three of these guys might really technically be starters. Filer might start at left guard, and Banner is going to probably be fighting for that right tackle position, and Hilton is the starting slot corner.
Yeah, these are good moves. These are the big moves. I mean, you know, you and I talked, I think it was last week, right? We were talking about what free agents I'd like to bring in and all of that, and I was pretty adamant about, like, look, let's just keep this core together first, because there was real questions about whether or not the Steelers were going to be able to keep guys like Filer and Hilton. I mean, Banner, I think, was an easier one because, you know, he cost far less. But, yeah, these are good moves. I mean, you know, you got it with Finney out the door, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, keeping Filer is good because now all of a sudden the Steelers don't have a complete makeover on the offensive line. They can move Filer to left guard like they did in that game against the Rams last year. You have a battle at right tackle between Zach Banner, who played well last year, and Okorafor, who the Steelers had high hopes for when they drafted him in the third round a couple years back. So some stability on the offensive line, even though this team's going to lose Ramon Foster, now lost B.J. Finney. They probably still need to address that again. But we also talked to Chris about the cornerback spot and how much of a domino effect that would have if they lost Mike Hilton, right? Because, yes, Cam Sutton can step up, and I think Cam Sutton deserves playing time. But, you know, if any one of those corners goes down now, you know, you're trusting in Justin Lane, and they don't really have a backup at nickel behind Cam Sutton. So keeping Hilton, I think, for another year, very, very good move. I'm happy that this, you know, that it didn't all have to fall apart. The CBA, I think, getting signed was such a big part of that. The ability for this team to restructure so much and create so much cap space. I'm glad that this core group is going to stick together. Bud's back. Now you got these restricted free agents. You know, the depth issues, I think, that I was talking about last week alleviated somewhat so far.
Now, but let's talk about the two guys that we know will not be Steelers now that came out today. You, as you alluded to, B.J. Finney signing a two-year deal with the Seattle Seahawks for $8 million. And Tyler Matakevich striking it rich, 2 years, $9 million to join the Buffalo Bills. I got to say, I'm not all that surprised that Finney signed somewhere else because he's a good player. He's put out good tape. He can play both center and guard. That's something that I can see someone seeing on tape and valuing. And I'm not all that surprised that Tyler Matakevich got a contract, but 2 years at $9 million? Whoa.
Yeah. That was the whoa deal of the day when you're looking at all the different Steelers moving around because, I actually expected B.J. Finney to probably get a little more than that. And $4 million, you know, probably put him in range for what the Steelers, I think, would probably be offering for him. And you have to assume the Steelers wanted to bring him back because of the continuity that he's had with that offensive line and the fact that he can play guard and center. That, you know, that's going to be kind of be a hole now for the Steelers to fill is backup guard, but someone who can also fill in if Pouncey goes down. Right before we started recording, Chris, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN reported that the Steelers were working out a deal with Finney, and I guess the Seahawks swooped in with more money, so they weren't offering $4 million. But and then, you know, the Matakevich deal is crazy. $4.5 million. Look, Mark Caboli pointed this out earlier today. Before last year, when the Steelers went out and signed Steven Nelson and Mark Barron and Dante Moncrief and kind of made their biggest splash in free agency, They hadn't paid a guy annually $5 million a year, or $5 million a year was the most that they had paid a guy annually in this free agency. I know they signed Hayden during preseason and whatnot, but during the opening of the league year, this unrestricted free agency period, the most they had paid a guy was $5 million a year. That was Mike Mitchell and Ladarius Green. So Tyler Matakevich is making very close to the maximum the Steelers had ever spent at this time, going back to last year. So that's crazy to me. And, you know, look, I wanted to bring him back. I said that last week. I thought he was, you know, he's a good special teamer. And with them losing Chicolo, you felt like, boy, you don't want to lose Chicolo and Matakevich and have to really, you know, go through maybe some growing pains special teams wise. But bringing in Watt, I think, you know, for a much cheaper deal, right? So we're talking about $3 million a year versus $4.5 million a year. And Watt may provide some value on offense at fullback, whereas Matakevich, I think we all know you don't want to see him on defense. You only want to see him on special teams.
And it's important to point out, Matakevich did lead the NFL in special teams tackles, but you know who tied with him? Derek Watt.
So, oh, really? Okay, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, so I think that's exactly what that replacement is, which is why I was filming earlier today with Chase Williams from Channel 11 WPXI here at in Pittsburgh. And, you know, he asked me about, does that mean Roosevelt Nix is gone? I did say it's just so hard for me to see a team keep two fullbacks.
Yeah.
But I also said, I don't know, because Derek Watt seems more like a special teams move than anything else.
Yeah.
And because I feel like they would have done something with Roosevelt Knicks if they knew they were going to do this move.
Yeah. No, so, it's a good point. And, you know, you and I talked before the podcast about, like, hey, could you keep them both? And maybe, you know, I mean, the problem here is roster spots, right? It's like, where do they fit? You know, if you're keeping Derek Watt and Roosevelt Knicks at the same time, does that mean you're only keeping, you know, two running backs, or, you know, where is that? Are you only keeping two tight ends? Where is that extra roster spot coming from? But maybe the Steelers feel like, look, that's a problem for August. That's not a problem for March, right? Let's figure that out when we, you know, if we can create a roster spot for both of these guys. Or maybe, you know, it's one of Tomlin's classic two dogs, one bone type situation. And Knicks is also a very good special teamer. So, you know, this may end up being a competition come training camp.
It could be. We still don't have the details on the Watt deal. There could be some, it depends on how much is guaranteed there. You know, we'll see how that goes. But either way, a big move. Finally, before we get to the next segment, just want to announce that Ben Roethlisberger and Steven Nelson were officially announced as restructures today. And according to Jerry Dulac, with the restructures now total to about $20 million in freeing up space. And with the $15 million-ish dollars that they saved in cuts, they've opened up about $35 million in space, and that's still without touching Stephon Duett or David DeCastro or Cam Hayward's re-sign that we expect at some point this year. And with Derek Watt and the tenders that they've dished out, that projects, Tony and I were working on some numbers before the show, that projects to be around $8 million still left in cap space after all of these moves. Of course, this still has to be announced officially, and a lot of things can still happen. But it looks like the Steelers have worked it so that they have space. We'll get into next segment. We'll get into just kind of finalizing our thoughts on this, and then we'll also be talking about what's going on around the league, because there were some huge news stories that took over the day. Okay, Tony, we are back. And now that we're back, just want to kind of finalize up some thoughts here, because I know you guys are probably having some questions at home. Like, well, wait a minute, Chris and Tony, what if they're moving all this money down the line? Doesn't this mean that there's a lot of money that's going to tie us up next year? And the answer is yes. It's projected that Ben Roethlisberger's cap hit next year could be $41 million. That's a lot of money to be paying any quarterback, let alone a quarterback that'll be 39 at the time. But, Tony, it seems to me that the Steelers are putting a lot of eggs in the basket that the NFL's salary cap is going to explode going into next season with the new CBA officially agreed upon, knowing that there will be an extra game and an extra playoff game, and that the owners will be willing to spend a lot more.
Yeah, because there were a lot of rumors that the cap might go up significantly this year, and it didn't. So you have to figure, look, they're going to get a 17th game, so you should have 1/17th higher, right? If you just do that, right, it should just be 1/17th higher next year. It's already, right. You know, it naturally goes up every year anyway. So we can expect it's been going up about $10 million every year. You can expect that natural progression. Plus, yeah, add the 17th game, there's going to be new TV deals. I mean, I was reading earlier today that it may go up as much as $40 million. Now, probably not going to go up $40 million, but boy, if it did, I'll tell you what, you look at the numbers right now, you know, Ben's got a cap hit, like you said, of $41.5 million. But even with that, you know, you look at who they have under contract right now for 2021, the Steelers right now would have $46 million in available cap space with Ben Roethlisberger's $41.5 million cap. And that's not factoring in any sort of salary cap going up $40 million or anything. You know, the problem is that, yes, the Steelers would have, you know, potentially $80 million in open cap space if, let's say, it went up the $40 million, but they would not have under contract yet Bud Dupree, Cam Hayward, you know, Villanueva, Hilton, TJ Watt, Juju, right?
The big one.
Yeah, Cam Sutton wouldn't be under contract. Actually, Duck's not under contract, so I don't know how they're going to fit Duck
and Ben. Jesus, you worked that in perfect for you. You slimy dog.
I had to get it.
Goodness. That was so smooth. And see, I'm paying attention right now, and I know I was like, where he's, oh, there it is. That's what Tony, that's the whole reason he was talking right there. he can
pay. I don't know how they're going to fit Ben's $41.5 million. And then, you know, I mean, look, you look at what Duck's going to have to make. I mean, that's going to be tough to fit, even if they did have $80 million in available cap space. The one thing, look, the Ben number is big, right? $41 million. And, you know, the Steelers do this. They restructure. Well, okay, we're at the end of Ben Roethlisberger's career. They can't restructure the $41 million. They might not just have to eat it. Or, I mean, look, they could go to Ben again and say, hey, why don't we add another year to that deal or whatnot? I mean, not care if the cap goes up. But remember, like, you know, we're in a world right now where Tom Brady just signed a deal. Well, I guess, spoilers, Tom Brady signed with the Bucks. I don't know if anyone, probably you already know that listening to this. But that's a $30 million a year deal. Drew Brees just signed a deal, I believe, for about $25 million a year on average. So Ben making 41 is, you know, I mean, it's still too much, but – you know, look, the Steelers don't go into off seasons with $40, $50 million in available cap space. So this is the one time they may just not care.
Yeah, it's actually kind of wild to think about the idea that maybe we're talking about that and just where everyone's going to be going with how they're rising, with how everything's been skyrocketing with the CBA. You're right. It's crazy to talk about the Steelers having cap space. That'd be pretty wild. And the idea that maybe they can make some moves here. This whole thing is very interesting.
That's without Dupree, without Watt. Right? I mean, there's a ton of deals that have to get done between now and then.
Right, so but the fact that they can make down. Those deals, because what we were thinking was, man, they're going to have to do a whole lot to create the space to make those deals in the first place. But now you don't got to create those deals, those extra deals. Now you might be able to just sign, hey, TJ, here's $18, $20 million. Boom, right there.
Right.
And then also, you're talking about cuts at that year. Because then maybe you're like, you know what? You know, we don't like this guy. We don't like that guy, or you trade this guy away, or you get another extension, and then again, you know, if next year is Ben's last year, you could do a ton of restructures to push it to 2021, because then if you're pushing it to 2021, 2022, because we're getting way too far ahead. But saying if you're going into 2021 and you're like, oh man, we're running out of space, you could restructure all the guys that still have money going forward and say, hey, we're gonna pay you in 2022 when Ben's off the books, and then that'll be $40-ish million off of your salary cap. So I think that this is very doable for them. And I think that's exciting. But let's get into the national talk for a little bit. And Tony, way to spoil the show.
Yeah, sorry.
Everyone was waiting on bated breath.
Yeah.
For what
they're
I was
tuning in. They're tuning in to Locked On Steelers to find out where Brady went, and I ruined
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Because you couldn't have heard this anywhere else. I broke the story.
It's an exclusive.
It's exclusive. He told me personally. He called me.
Well, you and Brady are so close. You know what I mean?
But. Anyways, but he signed with the Buccaneers, 2-year, $30 million a year contract. Tom Brady, it came out crazy because he announced his breakup with the Patriots via Instagram. Also, Tony, if either of us announced breakups on Instagram, I think we'd both be shot.
Yeah, that's true.
Just personally. But he announced basically on Instagram in the morning, like, hey, you know, thank you, New England, for everything you've done for me. Then Bob Kraft and Bill Belichick kind of both came out and were like, you know, we love Tom Brady, and but he wants to go. It's not us. And it's really funny because I did think that Tom was going to go back simply because I thought he was going to be like, you know what? I know this system. I'm not going to rock any boats here. But you know, maybe it was that Tom was kind of playing with not any like real weapons around him. And maybe he was giving them time to make some moves to show that. And Bill Belichick's like, what do you mean? I never work with weapons. I just sign guys and let you work.
You have to figure like the last straw for him was watching DeAndre Hopkins get traded for nothing. It's like, wait, we couldn't do that. Like, what are we doing here? You could have had DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm-hmm. That could very well be it. And then they signed some guy at wide receiver. I don't even remember his name. I was just like, who? But point being, Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers, which is very interesting because they have Mike Evans, they have Chris Godwin, who is number 12 for the Buccaneers and most likely is going to get paid from Tom Brady to cough up that number. I think this is very interesting. They also had Breshad Perriman this past year, and he really had some big splash plays for them finally after being a complete bust for the Ravens. It's a very interesting spot. I'm just curious about, with Tom Brady's arm, how much is he going to be launching the ball deep? Because
it's the big question, right? It doesn't make any sense in Arians' offense.
Right. Like, Arians loves to air it out, and he's got big play wide receivers. But now you're talking about a guy that throws a lot behind or at the line of scrimmage. Now, 2007 to 2010, Bruce Arians, this is great. He loves the wide receiver screen. That's what he used to do with Mike Wallace and Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown. He lived off of that with Ben Roethlisberger back in the day. But the way that they had Jameis Winston throwing, now again, this Jameis Winston, you gotta wonder, does Tom still have the cannon to make those kind of throws? And he really didn't look good in this past year with New England. So there's a lot of reasonable speculation as to how this is going to work. But certainly it's just a crazy thing to think about, Tony.
I agree with you. I completely agree. I mean, look, this is a team in the Patriots that was really carried by a defense throughout the year. And that offense kind of got worse and worse as the year went on. They lost Josh Gordon. They had Antonio Brown for a week. It is funny to look at the Patriots cap space right now and the kind of cap quote unquote troubles that they're under. And then look at the fact that they have dead cap space of $13.5 million for Brady and almost $5 million for Antonio Brown. And it's, I like that. That's, as a Steeler fan, that makes me happy. But Brady going to the Bucs, I'm not sure that this is look, he's surrounded by a ton of talent there. This is an offense that he's going to come into. Like you talked about Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, you can stop right there. It's okay. He's got far more weapons than he had in New England really in a while, right? Since he had, you have to go back to Edelman and Gronk. And while I don't think either Evans or Godwin are on Gronk's level, I mean, certainly both are better than Edelman. So, it's kind of six to one, half dozen of the other there. He's got a ton of talent. Can he work in Arian's system or is Arian's going to have to adjust what he wants to do for Tom Brady? We shall see. But, I'll say this. As a Steeler fan, I'm very, very happy that Tom Brady is out of the AFC. This certainly should mean that the Patriots take at least a step backwards. It makes that division a little more competitive. It, all of a sudden, the Bills and Patriots are potentially vying for that division. I mean, they were at times in 2019 anyway. But it also means that the Steelers, potentially could be looking at if they can get by the Ravens, they can win the division. The bye week is within range. Well, I guess there's no more bye week, right?
Only for this the number one seed.
The NFL sucks. Sorry. they can get the number two
seed. I am going play, to clip that sound. Just play that. Whenever something happens that people don't like, we're gonna have Tony Cerino screaming, "The NFL sucks!"
You should. Yeah, I mean, they get the hopefully we get the Steelers get the second seed and can earn the right to play. I don't know the Bengals or whatever, whoever the Browns, whoever it's going to be. Oh, it's going to be the Browns will finally make the playoffs because it's the seventh seed.
Win the seventh seed.
No, I know. No, just Brady being out of the AFC opens things up for the Steelers more if there still was a bye week, but I guess there's not anymore, but even still, right? It makes the Steelers' path to the Super Bowl just a little easier. Actually, a lot easier because Brady has been a thorn in their side in the postseason.
And what's crazy is, it's funny, Mike Tomlin's Steelers have only ever played the Patriots once in the playoffs. When you think back to those Bill Cowher days in 2001 and 2004, that still holds a significant just dagger in a lot of Steelers fans' memories because both of those years, Steelers fans felt like that was the year. Another year for them to make the Super Bowl, and Brady was right in the middle of cutting that down. Well, not the first year because – Drew Bledsoe did that.
It was actually Bledsoe, yeah, which actually hurts even more.
But absolutely big deal that Brady's going somewhere else, and we're interested to keep an eye on that. And the Steelers don't have to play the Buccaneers; they just played them a couple years ago, don't got to worry about that. Actually, last year, what am I saying? Chris Conte's soul is still somewhere floating above Raymond James Stadium, But yeah, so
that was 2 years ago, wasn't it? 2 years ago?
Well, it's crazy because now we're thinking. So if we're counting this season, right, then there's last season.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. What season are we in? When are we recording this? What's going on?
We're recording in 2020. So damn it. A year and a half ago. That's what it was. It was a year and a half ago.
Yeah. I get it.
Gosh. What has happened to us? All right. We'll be back. We're going to take a quick break. And then we're going to keep diving into what's going on around the league because there were a ton of moves made. We just wanted to focus on Tom Brady for a little bit. That's a big story. But stick with us. We got a lot more to talk about. Okay, Tony. So let's talk about rest of the league. You know that there is a specific player who does not deserve to be named on the show, but he shall because it's our job and we are objective. Mm-hmm.
You're very objective about this player.
Yeah, totally.
The most objective about this player.
The most objective person. I don't know. I've never said anything bad about this player ever. But Philip Rivers is signed to a one-year, $25 million contract with the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, it makes sense because they needed someone to start over Brissett, and they do have a bunch of talent on their roster. But it's interesting that it's Philip Rivers is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense because – this is a team that probably feels like they are a couple pieces away from a title, and so they went out and got DeForest Buckner, forego their first-round pick, and now they go out and get the quarterback who they think can take them to a Super Bowl, although the last time Rivers won a playoff game was – it's been a minute, right? So I don't know. This makes the Colts, I think, marginally better, and it makes the AFC South interesting between them and the Texans. Because this was a team last year that was looking at Andrew Luck, you know, as being a starter, and then he retires right before the year. They, you know, they found some life with Brissett, but I think they realized, like, okay, if we're in a Super Bowl, Brissett's probably not the guy to take us there. Although I think, Chris, you would probably argue Philip Rivers also not that guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's the guy to lead you to the future. Philip Rivers to me would be a quarterback that I would be happy to put on a team that had a lot of talent and just say, look, buddy, you're here to keep the ship going in the right direction. Also, I guess his most recent playoff win was 2018 because that's when they beat Lamar Jackson.
Oh, right. They beat Lamar Jackson. That's true. Yeah.
So technically, but before that it was 2013, and that's laughable. Right. But I mean, Philip Rivers to me, I mean, He. The reason I don't like him is just I don't like the way he handles a lot of situations. I think he comes off like a punk in a lot of times. He'll talk a lot of trash, and as soon as someone dishes it back to him, he plays like the rabbit. And I'm just like, come on, dude! Like either you're a lion and you could take it, or you're a punk, or you're a rabbit and you just need to keep your mouth shut. Like I don't appreciate that about him. And I mean, and people like label him as this supremo automatic Hall of Fame elite quarterback, and I'm like, what has he ever done? You know, he puts up numbers, but again, you know people get on Mike Tomlin for winning what, 5 playoff games in the past decade. That's how many playoff games Philip Rivers has won his entire career.
Yeah, so, and he had some good. I mean, look, earlier in his career, he looked like he was on that kind of trajectory, right? Because, you know, it was the game he played through the ACL tear against the Patriots, and that team, you know, could have potentially beaten the Patriots that year. But Tomlinson also went down in that game, and it was just an awful sequence of events there. But you're right. I mean, like, that was as close as they ever got. They never, you know, he never got back to that point. They've been a coaching, you know, carousel ever since. So, you know, I think he's going to go down as one of those, you know, quote-unquote great quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl, but, you know, he also never really got close again.
No, you're right. He didn't, and I think the reason is because he stinks. but anyway, but I mean, it's still a big move for the Colts. They've got Marlon Mack, who I think is decent. They have a really good offensive line led by Quentin Nelson. You know, they still have T.Y. Hilton. They still have Jack Doyle. So I mean, they've got talent. They trading away that 13th pick was a surprise to me, but I mean, they're trying to bolster their defense. So I get it. So that's going to be an interesting group to keep an eye on, and see how Philip Rivers does with a change of scenery. You know, he's been a West Coast guy for so long. He's lived in good weather, and now he goes to a dome. So you think this kind of does work to his advantage a little bit. So we'll see how he handles the new situation and where the Colts go. Moving along, because we got a lot of other things to talk about. I thought this was interesting, not as in it's going to make a huge difference in the season, but just funny. Jason Witten goes to the Raiders.
Yeah.
He reunites with John Gruden because they were both Monday Night Football guys, although not at the same time. So technically not really reuniting, but it's just kind of funny that two Monday Night Football guys are going to be on the same team. It also just furthers the point that John Gruden just loves to overpay old people.
He is overpaying everybody this offseason. Yeah. Carl Nassib, I don't know if you saw his deal. It's 3 years, $25 million, $17 million fully guaranteed for a guy who is he even – I don't know. I guess he's going to be the starter. He has to be the starter there because you don't pay someone that much to be a backup, but holy cow. They got Corey Littleton on a three-year, $36 million deal. I don't know what the terms they got with Mariota. And then you have to you wonder with Mariota, Mariota is going to take over for Carr, or is he going to be the backup there? Is it going to be an open competition? It's an interesting offseason for the Raiders. And, getting Jason Witten in there, I mean, look, you're right. It's a Monday Night Football connection. Otherwise, I don't understand that move at all because what's their tight end's name? He's good, right? Waller, their tight end?
Yeah, Waller had a really good year.
Yeah, he had a good year. So I don't know. I mean, I guess Witten's coming in as like a safety valve kind of, not going to be an every down type player. But, he's on his last legs.
I mean, the guy retired and came back this was why, I mean, when it was announced that John Gruden was getting a 10-year fully guaranteed deal with team stock, like an ownership rights, I was on the Paul Zeiss show on 93.7 The Fan here in Pittsburgh. And I like howled with laughter and like Paul was like, well, what are you thinking? Like, what do you mean, man? And so I was like, look at his draft history and look at his history of everything. And just, this is a team that, I don't even remember what the name of the guy is now, but they had a top pick last year and they spent it on an edge rusher that everyone was like, he was going like in the 20s. Like you
Farrell. Could've... it was I want to say Colin Farrell. That's not his name. Farrell. What's the guy's name? Farrell. It's not Colin Farrell, but his Clinton.
Something like that.
We're close.
But the point is
someone tweet us.
Like someone tweet us. Let us know how stupid we are. But seriously, like everyone's like, wait, him? Really? And it really hasn't. I mean, it's just the Raiders. They're going to be the Raiders again with him for the next 10 years. This is why I'm not worried about them as an organization. It was hilarious when I saw that contract and the fact that it's like $4.5 million.
It's crazy. Is there a team right now? I know we're only 2 days in, so this is way, way, way early. And as you've pointed out in the past, winning free agency does not matter and has no bearing on your success in the regular season. But is there a team right now that you're impressed with as far as the moves that they've made this early?
I'd say the Bills.
I was going to say the same thing, yep.
I mean, Matakevich is one thing, but they did go and get Josh Norman. And Norman, to me, like Dale and I have actually had some bouts about Norman. He thinks that Norman just flat out stinks. I just think that Norman needs to not be a primo number one super top tier cornerback guy on a roster, and with Tre'Davious White, I think that allows him to just be the number two and stick to a role, and that's where Norman will succeed. But he's not Darrell Revis, he's not Jalen Ramsey, and he's not Tre'Davious White. He's not just going to lock everybody down. But you put him in a system, I think he would do really well, and he would shine that way. So that's why I'm excited about what they're doing there, and then also going and getting Stephon Diggs as a speedster and a route runner. For Josh Allen, and Josh Allen has a cannon. He does need to work on his accuracy a lot.
Yeah.
But I can see if Stephon Diggs beats somebody, Josh Allen being like, F it, I'm chucking this bad boy and just throwing it up and letting Stephon Diggs get under it. So, I mean, if I had to pick one team, it would be the Bills. But, I mean, also, it's interesting some of the rebuilds going on around here because – the Panthers have come out and made it official. They're going to sign Teddy Bridgewater to 3 years, $63 million, And they came out and said that, oh, we came to a mutual agreement with Cam Newton that
wasn't quite mutual.
Well, that's the thing. So this is a hilarious timeline that the Panthers come out and say, oh, it's a mutual agreement. Cam's going to go shop for other teams and get a trade because we love him. And Cam's like, that was not mutual. We never agreed to this.
You're making me do this.
In the latter. And so Cam Newton is now basically himself is on the trade block. For the Panthers, and I was listening to different people talk about this, and Diana Rossini of ESPN was like, "How crazy is it going to be that Cam Newton is probably going to get cut because no one's going to want to pay him the money that he's making on his current deal?" Right. And most likely he goes to a team that either is desperate for a quarterback to hold a spot, or they're not sure about someone and need a backup. And that's very sad for a guy that was an MVP at one point, was a top tier player, was a really good leader, and he was extremely fun to watch play. He was always lighting it up for Carolina, and just like that, he gone.
It's sad, yeah, because the guy, I mean, he just the injury problems for him have just kind of they've stacked up the last couple of years. He's a great quarterback when he's healthy. Great, I mean, look, they were the year they were in the Super Bowl. He was fantastic that year, and you know they were deserving of that spot in the year. I know they didn't win, but they were certainly deserving of a spot in that year's Super Bowl. And you got to hope that he can be healthy somewhere. And you know, like there's a ton of landing spots for him, right? I mean, there certainly still are teams out there that are looking to upgrade at quarterback. The obvious one being the Chargers, who kind of did not land Tom Brady, and now are kind of left waiting. Yeah. New England is there, and I know a lot of people were saying today, "Oh boy, I hope." That Belichick doesn't land Cam Newton because, you know, that's a player that they could easily just kind of keep this continued dynasty going with, especially if Cam Newton's healthy. Chicago is another spot. I don't know if they have the cap space for Cam Newton, but they were certainly exploring opportunities with like Andy Dalton and whatnot. So
they were supposedly talking to Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, exactly. So if they're exploring ways to clear some cap space to make enough room for a quarterback. Yeah, like you were saying, I don't think people are going to go out there right now and spend the big, big money on Cam Newton, but they're probably going to give him an incentive-based, you know, kind of deal. And so the Bears could be an option for him there. I think he'll land somewhere, and he'll probably end up being a starting quarterback somewhere. The question right now is just, where is that going to be? Not, I think it's an if, but where?
No, I do agree. I think it's a where situation. Because, I mean, he still has too much talent, and franchise quarterbacks – they just tend to find jobs somewhere. If he didn't find it somewhere, I think it would speak to something that's going on amongst the NFL because, I mean, when certain guys get contracts that never deserve those kind of contracts, I mean, Sam Bradford continued to be, I mean, he's one of the most highest paid players that's never done anything in the NFL in the league history. And if Cam Newton can't get a job, I mean, geez.
He will.
No, I think he will. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. If it came to that, it would be insane. But I mean, all in all, like I said, I like what the Bills are doing. Honestly, you know, because they just straight up just came up and just stole DeAndre Hopkins. I love what the Cardinals are doing.
Yeah, well, they haven't done a whole lot else, right? But that's good enough.
Because don't forget, they got Kenyon Drake, and now with Kyler Murray, you have DeAndre Hopkins, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk at the wide receiver position. Now you can afford to just invest into the offensive line. It only costs you a second round pick, really. I think they're sitting in a really good spot right now. And Kyler Murray is going to be under me. He's a first overall pick, so he does command some money as a rookie. But still, it's a rookie deal, and it's not, you know, the ridiculous money that, you know, like $40 million for Ben Roethlisberger. And what Patrick Mahomes is going to make very soon. So really interesting stuff there. And again, we still have a long ways to go because technically free agency opens. Well, you're listening to this on Wednesday. So today,
right now,
literally right now the season starts. So all these things are just being, formalized and official. And I'm excited to see where people continue to go with this. The Steelers might not be done, and I still think they might try to sign a veteran tight end, maybe a veteran safety, maybe a veteran inside linebacker, just smaller, tinier signings so that they keep their cap space in order so that when they get their draft picks, they'll be fine. But Tony, where are you thinking as far as like other moves that you're looking forward to seeing around the NFL and with the Steelers?
With the Steelers, I think you nailed it, right? They probably need to look at someone on the offensive line, someone that can play center and guard to replace Finney, and I think that becomes a draft priority as well. Inside linebacker, safety, certainly are a couple more spots that they're probably going to need to address. I mean, look, I know Steelers fans get antsy this time of year because the Steelers aren't very busy in these first 48 hours, and the only new player they've brought in so far is Derek Watt, and you know he's going to be a core special teamer and maybe contribute a little bit on offense at fullback. But look, the Steelers usually don't get involved in these first. Last year was the aberration. You know, most years the Steelers sit back, let all the crazy money get spent, and then you know kind of pick the best of the rest. So I think they're still going to do that this year. I mean, look, there are still some moves, Chris. We were talking about it, right? There's still some moves that they can make to clear up even more space. They have right around 8 right now, but they can easily create more. They're going to extend Cam Hayward. They can restructure guys like David DeCastro. So they can clear some more space for themselves and bring in a couple guys if they need to. I don't expect they're going to be big names, but you know, there are certainly some spots that this team needs to fill. Most importantly, making sure that they still have that depth that they've had in the last couple years on the offensive line. Around the NFL, I want to see where the Patriots end up at quarterback because I want
your pick. Your pick's still out there, man.
Danny? Who did I pick? Oh, Andrew Luck. I don't know why Luck. I keep every time you go to me with that, I screw it up every single time, Chris.
You do.
I do. Andrew Luck is still out there, and there's been no rumors yet, and thank goodness for it. There has been rumors about like an Andy Dalton type thing, which I would love to watch Andy Dalton in New England. I'll watch enough of him in Cincinnati to know that I'll enjoy watching him in New England. Let's say that.
it'd be rather funny to see. It'll be crazy if the Patriots don't sign somebody that makes it work, and the Steelers start smacking them around. So there's it's really funny because there's two real ways that this really works out against the Patriots. But there's one real way it's a complete nightmare for the Steelers, and we can end the show on this sentiment, because if the Patriots do well without Tom Brady and Tom Brady doesn't do anything in Tampa Bay, then it's going to open up all the doors of, well, Tom Brady was a system quarterback, and people are going to be flooding that narrative on social media. If Tom Brady succeeds and the Patriots stink, then everyone's going to be talking about, oh man, like it was really just him holding up Bill Belichick all this time. He's not that great of a coach.
Yeah.
But the true nightmare is if the Buccaneers and the Patriots play each other in the Super Bowl. Like, if that happens.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad we're ending on this because I need to go throw up after you bringing this up. It's not even possible, Chris. It's not even possible.
It would be impossible. It would be the worst nightmare of I think not just Steelers fans, but everyone in general. Like, like you can't root for anyone or against anyone. You just want Bane to just show up and blow up the field. Like, that would be
because right, it's like the Patriots are multiplying. It's like, oh, there was only one Patriots. Yeah. Oh no, now there's two Patriots. What's next? There'd be four Patriots. I don't want this. Get it out. Okay, look, the Bucs are in the NFC. I'm happy with that. It opens the door for the Steelers to make a Super Bowl run, which I've been saying is coming for a while. And that's great. But the Buccaneers cannot be so good that they actually, like, you know, that Brady's back in the Super Bowl. I'm done. The NFC is good enough. They should be able to take care of him. And in the AFC, the Patriots need to be an 8-18, please. Or worse.
Just an 8-18. And look, the Bills, the rest of the AFC East better be like, look, we are pounding the Patriots. This is for all those years of suffering that we had at your hand. They better put a whooping. I don't care who the Patriots get at quarterback. They better put a whooping on. They better put a whooping on that team. And if the Patriots make the playoffs and the Steelers get to see them because they're in the playoffs for. The Steelers need to lay the smack down upon them. And also, you know, I'm also thinking, I still think the Saints run the NFC South right now until that core is broken up. I know that they keep falling flat in the playoffs, but I don't see Tom Brady joining the Buccaneers and making that a thing. But it would be everyone's worst nightmare if that came to fruition. But again, I think the upside is that, listen, either you can say Tom Brady's assistant quarterback, Belichick depending on too much on Brady, or if they both stink, you can say, you know what? Obviously, it was just the cheating. That's all it was.
So it was just the cheating. I mean, the real thing is, like, they were good for each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Neither side wants to admit it, and now hopefully both sides fail in when they, you know, especially at this point. I mean, Tom Brady at 42. I know Arians in that offense has a lot of talent, but I don't imagine they're going to go in there and go 16-0 or anywhere close, right? I mean, they may make the playoffs, but that NFC is too good right now for Brady to make a real run there. And in the AFC, I just don't see, unless it is like a super healthy Cam Newton coming in, I don't see, you know, whatever quarterback the Patriots are going to bring, whether that's Andy Dalton there, or if they just go with like Jared Sittum or they draft a guy. I mean, I don't see them just kind of picking up where they left off or getting anywhere better than they were a year ago, because you're putting in a quarterback who's going to have some question marks on an offense that doesn't have a whole lot of playmakers on it already. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to both sides failing. Thank you.
All right, that's a fun note to end on for the show. Tony, thanks as always for coming back on. We couldn't do Tony Tuesdays. We did Tony Wednesday.
That's right.
So, you know, Wednesday. No, there's no alliteration. There's no rhyming. We'll figure something out.
You should have done it on Thursday, right? Tony Thursdays. It's a little,
I mean, that could work. I mean, I guess. I didn't think about that. I just wanted to get you on the show.
So
we got you on Wednesday. Thanks for joining the show, man. Remind people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Steeler Country. I do have a new show. I know I said, oh, you know, I'm leaving. I don't want to do podcasts anymore. Well, you know, that lasted for 2 months. no, it's a different kind of show, though. It's going to be it's called AFC North Talk. It's a very, very great. It's a great name for a show. We're still coming together, but it's a YouTube show. You can find it on YouTube. Search AFC North Talk. It's me and a guy from the Ravens, Sonny, who I've done podcasts with, and then Quincy Carrier, who does a Browns YouTube channel, and Ace Boogie, who does a Bengals podcast. We all got together. We're starting a show all about the AFC North. So if you want to watch that, it's on YouTube. Search AFC North Talk.
Listen, I've watched this show live. I've seen some of the recordings, and it's funny how Tony runs rings around people with his sarcasm on that show. Like, I'm like, and there's like, I'll message him during the show, like, dear God, how are you doing this?
It's fun. It's fun.
It's a fun show to watch. If you ever want something on YouTube and you just need something else, and it's guys that are, they're a lot more free than we are as far as, you know, what they say. You know, if you remember the banter I had with the Bengals guys in the Ultimate Division crossover, it's even raunchier than that. So, so it's good to enjoy that. Tony Serino, again, follow his work there. I'm Chris Carter. You can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Join the Facebook group for Locked On Steelers by searching Locked On Steelers on Facebook. I'll add you as soon as possible. Don't forget, y'all, it's Pittsburgh Media March Madness. Right now I'm dominating the Sweet 16. I was a 16 seed and y'all got me to the Sweet 16, and we're looking to make it to the Elite Eight. Voting ends this upcoming Monday, so every vote counts. If you haven't gone to it, go to my Twitter page at Carter Critiques. You can find it there. It's Pittsburgh Media March Madness. You can find that poll and add your vote to it, retweet it, get more people on the side of righteousness and the good and goodness and the American way and the Steeler way. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
and remember, everyone, if Chris wins the tournament,
yes,
I will buy him a Duck Hodges jersey and a camo duck hat. So he will have that in the mail to him if he wins the tournament. So let's make sure we get out there. Vote once, vote twice, vote early, vote often.
And vote early, vote often. and on top of, as a punishment for me winning because of you all, we will do a show where Tony is kind of making sure I don't die, and he will be able to confirm. But I will, if I win the championship. Now again, I'm just in the Sweet 16 right now, so we got a long way to get to this point. But if I win the championship of this Pittsburgh Media March Madness, which means I beat every person in Pittsburgh media, not just sports. But if I win this, I will do a show in which during the show, I will do a shot of tequila for every percentage point that I win the championship round by.
You are entering a world of pain.
I'm entering a world of pain. But if I win by 20%, I'm gonna do 20 shots.
Oh, you're not. I'm not gonna allow it. I won't allow it.
So Tony's gonna be the one that holds me to this. Like, so he's gonna be on the show. He'll be the one that makes sure, like, we will do a video version of Skype so that we can converse and he can see me to make sure that I'm doing it. I do have Steelers shot glasses in my house. So this will be a thing. And I made sure to get some tequila before Armageddon struck and all state stores were shut down. So there's that. So again, vote for that. Also, if you're loving the show, please hit the subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us get the word out about the show. Thanks for all those who support us. We really appreciate the Locked On listener community. We'll be back tomorrow talking more on the Steelers.